Don't you love music? God created music for you and I. He created music for himself. Largest music book in the Bible, our largest book in the Bible is a book of music. You know, we have an opportunity to do something as young Christians, and that's to sing a new song. It's an opportunity. It's not just a command. It's we get to. We get to sing good music. We get to listen to good music. The music of a holy one. You know, I've always loved music, never could sing real well, but I've always been involved with music ever since I was a child. Brent Hiles, who helped me put this together, he and I grew up together. His mom and dad owned a music store in Schererville, and I took guitar lessons from them. Never was good at it, but I liked music. Got in high school, got involved in a high school ensemble, high school choir. Never sang a solo, never will, but I liked it, and I worked hard at it. Became a youth pastor. I started a high school ensemble and did that for 27 years. I led the high school choir. I put together an adult ensemble for past 31 years, I believe now. Put together a number of quartets and singing groups, helped produce about 15, 16 CDs, I guess. But I've loved music. I've been a part of it. The music that I was involved in back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, I realized that much of that genre of music is different today. The performers are different. The rock stars changed almost daily. But nevertheless, rock music is still the same. About 2 years ago, one of our finest young ladies, she came to me and she said, "Brother Eddie," she said, "what is wrong with contemporary Christian music?" I was a little almost miffed at her question, and I said, "What do you mean, what's wrong with it? Why wouldn't you know what's wrong with it?" And she said, I really don't understand. I said, it's quite the conversation piece at our school, and we argue about it from time to time. I said, "Well, it's rock music." And she just kind of looked at me like, "Well, okay." And I said, "You really don't know what rock music really is, do you?" And I left that night, and I was very convicted. Talked to our youth pastors, and I've talked to my wife and others, and I talked to several musicians in our church. And I said, "You know what? I'm trying to think the last time I'd ever preached a sermon on rock music. And I couldn't even find one in my files." Then I tried to find and think of a time where I listened or heard a message on rock music, and I just can't remember. And I believe you, this generation, you've grown up with rock music as a part of your everyday life. It's in your television, it's in your, you can't turn the news on without it being there. It's part of you. It's part of your world. And now Satan is so smart and so intelligent, now he's made it part of our world. He's made it part of the Christian world. And I want to help you. I'm not going to beat you up tonight, unless you want it. I can do that. But I want to help you understand where Christians fall in the music of a holy walk. I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to open them to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to stand to your feet, and we're going to read this together here. 2 I want you to read with me chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Would you? And then I'm going to show a short video, and then I'm going to use the screens and media a lot today. We're going to show you exactly what rock music is, how it's defined, and what it means. And I want you to follow along with me. I'm going to pray, and we're going to read the Bible, and then I'm going to play a short video. Father, we ask your blessings to be upon this, and may Jesus Christ be glorified. Help us to look into our own hearts, not with prejudice, but with just open heart and open mind. Lord, I believe there are a lot of young people here who want to live a holy life, but they cannot listening to the music they're listening to. May this be convicting to me, to every youth pastor, and every young person here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Read with me, chapter 3, verse 1 says, ready? "This know also..." What's the matter? What's that? Hold on. What's that? What did I say? Oh, you almost sat down? You're so used to sitting down after you pray? Stay standing. All right, here we go. Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. You can be seated now, all right? I want you to watch this video, and then we'll get started tonight.
On same-sex marriage.
Anyhow, we're going to pass that. I can't show it to you. We don't know what's wrong with that, but let me just get into it. And it's a video I showed last year, but Can we not get the PowerPoint up there? Let me help you here. If there's something I need to do, go ahead and come on down. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, and they'll work on this. It says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." What we have here, we have a society of Christians now that are living a Christian life through fleshly means. We worship the Lord through fleshly appetites. Our music has a fleshly flavor to it. Now, I'm not trying to be cute. I'm not trying to be funny at all. I'm just trying to be very, very factual with you. That Bible, the Word of God, go ahead, Brent, and take care of that. The Bible talks about vanity in our worship. And here the music industry has used itself and used its forum, so to speak, as a way to worship the Lord. And it is not worship. We'll explain that in a few moments, hopefully. But it is not worship. It is something that is vain in God's eyes. So nevertheless, when you sing a song, you know, is it sung in with, you know, I'm not saying that you are always living right and living perfect, but is the song itself, does it bear witness of a rock culture, which is wrong, which is evil, which is fleshly? Or does it bear witness of the Holy Spirit? We're going to walk as children of light. We're going to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Then our music speaks for us. You know, I can take a CD and I can listen to a music CD, and I can pretty well tell you from what college that CD is from. Are we on? No. And it's just by the style of the music, and it could be good, you know, good music. But nevertheless, it's the style, it's the type of music. You can tell. And music identifies who you are. It identifies what you are. So nevertheless, without the right kind of music, you're not going to sing the right kind of song. The holy walk, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. When Daniel and the children of Israel were taken captive, Daniel and others were put into a very specific place in the kingdom there. So Daniel was offered, and the scripture says in Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, nor he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with wine, which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of eunuchs. Now, here Daniel went into a place, and here's the key phrase in here that Daniel purposed in his heart. Young people, look at me, listen carefully. You are bombarded every day with all manner of kinds of sin, music, and so forth. You cannot go home. You will not go, you'll go into a restaurant without hearing rock music. But you are going to have to purpose. It is going to be a conscious decision for you to live holy. It is not something you're going to do by accident. You're not going to do it just because your parents lived it. You're not going to do it because you have a good youth group. You're going to have to purpose in your heart. You young people that came forward and you made decisions, you were purposing that feeling that you had, that spirit that God had placed in your heart to do something, to surrender, to preach, to get saved, and you're purposing to do just that. And Daniel did just exactly that. Here you had the purpose in his heart. You had when the children of the Christianity began to unfold, and outside of Jerusalem, churches began to grow. The Christians began to preach and teach to the Greeks and other races, and the word of this came into Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem. And Barnabas was sent to see what was going on, that so much spirituality had been happening, revival had been taking place with the Greeks. And here, when he came, it says in Acts chapter 11, who when he came had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He told those Christians there that they were going to need a purpose in the heart, that they were going to serve the Lord. A few verses later, then they were accused for the first time in Scripture of being called Christians. Now that terminology today, the word Christian is vague. Everybody is called a Christian. If you believe in God or you know that there's a God, you pretty well call yourself a Christian. But that's not what it meant in Scripture. It was a lifestyle. It was a way they lived. And when they showed themselves through the light of Christ, what they were, then you know what? They said, boy, you look like everything we've heard about Christ. You must be a Christian. A holy walk. What is a holy walk? First of all, it starts with salvation. You got to get saved. And we've preached on that. Many of you, most all of you, have accepted Christ as your Savior. Then prayer comes, and it becomes part of your life. And through a prayer life, through Bible reading, memorization, assembly with believers, going to church faithfully, soul winning, obedience to the Lord. And when God speaks to you, you're getting rid of your sin. You're obeying His commandments. You're living right. You're living holy. Worship then becomes a very important part of it. And praise. Praise. You must learn to have a walk with God through praise, a holy walk. Very important. But the world has changed definitions. When you look at music, what is the music of a holy walk? What is music that brings praise to God? Well, if you got to look at what and understand what music is. Music itself, in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, you got to understand this. It is melody or harmony, any succession of sounds so modulated as to please the ear, or any combination of simultaneous sounds in accordance or harmony. music is vocal or instrumental. But the first part of it says melody or harmony or any succession of sounds. Well, in the Merriam-Webster's Dictionary of 2017, it says the science or art of ordering tones or sounds in succession, in combination, and in temporal relationships to produce a composition having unity and continuity, vocal or instrumental. Now here they have added, in the newest form, they've changed the definition. They've added the word art. You say, what's so big about that? Music was never an art. You say, what's so important about that? Because art has a connotation of no bounds. You know, if there is nudity, it's art, it's okay. If it's pornography, we look at it as pornography, they call it art, it's okay. Art has literally is painted with a broad brush and broad strokes. And so now our music is now become an art form, so there are no bounds. There's no guidelines. We can sing whatever we want, put any kind of words to it, sing with any kind of style, sing it with any kind of genre, and it doesn't bother us. It doesn't hurt us. It's not wrong. It's art, and it's all okay. The performers can live just wicked, vile, heathen lives, but be glorified because they're artists. You take Prince, who passed away a little over a year ago, is almost deified. He was a wicked, vile man. He lived a vile lifestyle. His music is vile. It's wicked. And I believe most of you wouldn't listen to that kind. You see the definite difference there. But here you see the definite, subtle change in definitions here. Very interesting, isn't it? So music is not worship. Now, I have spent a lot of time studying this. I spent 2 years researching. I've gone to a contemporary Christian concert, and you know what? I listened to how they performed it, to what they performed, and you know, I've never been to a rock concert, secular rock concert, but I can't imagine it being any worse than that. However, listen carefully. All through their presentation, they talked about worship. Let us worship the Lord. Let us worship Jesus Christ. Worship means to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. All right? That's Webster's dictionary. Let me just show you what the Bible says here. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in what? Truth. And the Father seeketh such to worship him. In Psalm 66:4 says, all the earth shall worship thee and sing unto thee, and they shall sing unto thy name. In Psalms 138 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness. Worship and singing are two separate things. Worship and praise are two separate things. When you worship is, you know, when the Israelites worshiped in the Old Testament, when they worshiped the Lord, they worshiped and prayed towards the temple. We are the temple today. And we can take worship with us wherever we go, and you cannot worship God without obedience. If there is no obedience, then there is no worship. Because you must worship and obey him. In worship and in truth. Music is not amoral. Ah means no, and moral, it means right. You say, well, there is, you know, and this is the great confusion of the day, is that, you know, all music is good. There is no right or wrong music. Well, that is foolish. And it's just, it's really, if I may, I'll put it down on everyone's level. It's stupid thinking. Music does do things that are right and wrong. In just a very important passage here in Exodus chapter 32, and this will help you understand it. It says, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of what? War in the camp. Now bear in mind, this is when the men came off the mountain, and Moses and Joshua came off the mountain. 40 days they'd spent with God. They'd spent with God. And can you imagine what that must have been like? Can you imagine how holy they felt? And so now they're coming down the mountain. What do they have with them? The commandments, the tablets of stone. They had seen the hand of God write on these stones. God's word. The first written portion of God's word for us. And he brings it down to the people, and he hears something, and it is evident to a very holy man that whatever he's listening to is not right. Now look at me, listen, eyes right here. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." And he said, "It is not the voice of them that shout for the mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." So in other words, he wasn't hearing them singing songs of joy because they won in battle. He was hearing sounds that sounded like war. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. So here now you have, as we find out throughout Scripture, not only were they were dancing naked. And all of a sudden, a whole lifestyle change had happened because of their music and because of what they were doing. So, music, what is music? Music is eternal. Music is a dwelling place. It's a place where God dwells. We'll talk more about these in a second. It is a teacher. It is a comforter. Music is for celebration. Music is for remembrance. You remember the people and things and places because of music. It's a witness. Music is transformational. We're going to get to that one because that's so powerful and so important. Music is transformational. Music is for praise. It's for praise. Music is spiritual and supernatural. And even these things, when our music should be holy, sanctified, and set apart, and even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For what if the trumpet gave a uncertain sound? Who shall prepare himself for battle? You know, music is there are different sounds, different instruments. There you can turn on television and turn the music off, and the picture doesn't mean what it would mean until you turn the music back on, and it sounds suspenseful or exciting or motivating or romantic and so forth. Music is spiritual or supernatural. It's for spirit filling. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the what? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Saul used music as an antidote to an evil spirit. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed as well, and the evil spirit departed from him. This evil spirit that he had, I don't know exactly what all that means, other than he felt that his soul had been vexed. And through music, he chased that out. Music can do a spiritual work in you. Miss Cecily proved that when she heard a sermon, all of a sudden something inside of her spiritually was motivated. And Miss Lacey then used that motivation and wrote a song that moves us spiritually. There was no dancing. There was no body moving. There was no shaking. There was none of that going on. There was a spiritual moving in our hearts. God comes and takes residence where his people praise him. This is an important verse here in Psalm 22, verse 3. "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel." When you want to get a hold of God, you want to get God in your service, you get music there, because music is praise to God. You start praising the Lord. Amen. God is going to inhabit what you're doing. We started this conference the other night with prayer. And we started it with singing. Why? Because we wanted God here. We wanted God to be involved here. God literally wants to hear you sing. God heard Paul sing in the prison. Him and Silas sang at midnight when they were going through a very difficult time of their life. And what did they sing? They sang praises to God, and it brought God down and he delivered them. You sing, you stand in church. You know why you don't listen to preaching? You know why you don't like preaching? You don't sing during the song service. You don't get God into your heart and your soul. You don't bring God down and let him inhabit you. Praise will do that. You want to get God's attention, start praising him. And he'll say, yeah, you know, I like you. You know, I want to do something with you. You start singing, you're hurting, you're going through a troubled time. Start singing. So, you know, I'll throw in my ear pods and I'll throw in my iPod and I'll start listening to you. No, the Bible doesn't say about listening. It says start singing. Start singing. And you'll find the presence of God with you and carrying you to a place where you didn't think you could be. Music is spiritual, supernatural. The role of drums. This is very important. This is not my definitions. This is from research. The role of drums is to call the gods and thus bring a spirit possession, which is the ultimate purpose of most rituals. Drums are usually played in a battery of three. The largest drum is played by the master drummer, and the most important because it is specific in spirit possession. Specific rhythms correspond to specific gods. Now listen to me carefully. There's more than one God in this world. There are a multiplicity of gods. Now there's only one God, Jehovah. There's only the God. But there are a lot of gods. And the use of drums is to conjure up these evil spirits or gods. It is the rhythm identified with each god that is a primary instrument in summoning him. And no worship of the gods is possible without the rhythms that call and speak for the god. This is from a treasury of Afro-American folklore. Very interesting, isn't it? Now, what is music? God's divine structure. Here's where we're getting down to the rubber meets the road here. God's divine structure. You have melody, harmony, and rhythm. Okay, the three parts of music. God is triune. God likes to do things in threes. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man is triune, the spirit, soul, and body. So how important is that? Well, the melody of music affects our spirit. The harmony affects our soul. And rhythm affects our body. And we all know that. You take a two-year-old, put him next to a radio, and turn it on, and they'll start jamming. And everybody thinks it's cute because that rhythm is affecting his body. Very important. When music does not follow its ordained order, music is in rebellion. Because, you know, your music is supposed to start with the melody, then the harmony, and then the rhythm. But in rock music, the rhythm leads, which makes the music out of order and makes it rebellious. And you can look up, you can go on Wikipedia and you look up any definition of rock music. I'm explaining it. They define it as a music designed for rebellion and sensuality. So when music does not follow its ordained order, it is music in what? In what? Say it. Just as a carnal man who walks after the flesh and allows his spirit to be controlled by fleshly desires, he is in what? Rebellion. The same is true when the rhythm of music controls the melody of a song, the music is in rebellion. That's not a real big deal, is it? Yeah, because the Bible says for rebellion is as a sin of what? And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. This is what the prophet said and to the king when he was being rebellious. He was being obstinate and not doing what God wanted. God says, your rebellion is as witchcraft. Well, that's important. Why is that important? Because music and rebellion teaches rebellion as it bypasses, listen carefully, your spirit and mind to do so. Music and rebellion directly works on the flesh. The flesh. The carnal. And teaches your flesh that it is in charge. Meanwhile, the soul is soaking up whatever the writer wants to dump into it unimpeded, unhindered, without any spiritual protection. Without any spiritual protection. So music that is in rebellion is designed to create in you unlawful, and we use the word unlawful as lawful to the word of God, unlawful to a holy life, unlawful desires and appetites. Music that is in rebellion is designed to sink you with the backbeat rhythm and fill you with its own rebellious spirit. Music that is in rebellion is designed to bewitch you and your soul and spirit to be being controlled by your flesh. Now the backbeat, aka the rock beat, rock music, okay? I won't get into this very heavily here. You music majors, you will get this, you will understand it. If our video works, I'll be able to explain it a little better. But when we lead a song, the downbeat usually goes on the first beat, you know, one, two, three, four, one. That's how we do it. But the rock beat accentuates the second and the fourth beat, okay? And which is a big part of the R&B attraction. It had to do with stomping backbeats as made it so eminently danceable. That's how you can dance to it. Music, the backbeat now, is part of that transformational power. Remember we talked about that? Okay, the transformational power. Listen to this. This is from Wikipedia. And we use Wikipedia because it's not partisan towards Christian viewpoints. It is complete secular thought, and it is a world basically identifying themselves. So let's let them identify their own music. The popularity and worldwide scope of rock music resulted in a powerful impact on society. Rock and roll influenced daily life, fashions, attitude, and language in a way few other social developments have equaled. As the original generations of rock and roll fans matured, the music became an accepted and deeply interwoven thread in popular culture. Beginning in the early 50s, rock songs and acts began to be used in a few television commercials. Within a decade, this practice became widespread, and rock music was also featured in film and television program soundtracks. Okay? Let me just give you a few quotes from rock performers that probably only Mike Ray knows, and because they're old. I felt that if I could take a tune, drop the first and third beats, accentuate the second and fourth, and add a beat the listeners could clap to as well as dance, this would be what they're after. This is from Bill Haley. Okay, this is back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, all right? And that's not pertinent to you today, you're thinking, but it is. I dig the rock and roll. It has a backbeat, you can't lose it. Chuck Berry. Some of you may know who that is, some of you may not, doesn't matter. But these are folks that have led the generation in rock music. Aaron Seibler of Sing Out magazine said the great strength of rock and roll lies in its beat. It's music, it is a music which is basically sensual, unpuritan. Very interesting, isn't it? I felt that if I, sorry, I gotta see if I can move this on. Rock has always been the devil's music. You can't convince me that it isn't. Honestly, I honestly believe everything I've said. I believe rock and roll is dangerous. I feel that we're only heralding something even darker than ourselves. David Bowie, back in the 80s, late 70s, David Bowie, a great rock performer of his day, he even knew this was dangerous stuff he was dealing with. I really wish I knew why I have done some of the things I had done over the years. Ozzy Osbourne says, sometimes I think that I'm possessed by some outside spirit. A few years ago, I was convinced of that. I thought I truly was possessed by the devil. You don't know who he is. Some of you may, because he's kind of resurfaced. Christianity will go. This is important. Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue about that. I'm right, and I'll be proved right. We're more popular than Jesus now. John Lennon, 1966. John Lennon of the Beatles, which helped create a firestorm of music in this country and helped to spawn a rebellion that happened in the late 60s and 70s that changed the culture of this country. Look at me, young people. This music fueled the fire. It fueled the rebellion. We lost the Vietnam War because of music. You see, no, we lost because of politics. The music spawned a rebellion in this country, and there wasn't a general in the world that would have been able to lead us out of the trouble we were in. So you go back to the bewitching of that backbeat. How important is that word, bewitch, be enwitched, to fascinate, to gain an ascendancy over by charms or incantation? Bewitching, that has the power to bewitch or fascinate, that has the power to control by the arts. There's that word arts again, of pleasing. Merriam-Webster, 2017. Now I want to show you something, if this will work here with us, and we put together a way to show you that beat. And I'm gonna try here if we can. If it doesn't work, we're just gonna move on here. That second and fourth beat, that's what is important here. You can feel that. Many of you are already moving. Let's put some music behind it. Rock. 1952. Caused a great firestorm in this country. Listen to the words of this. I'll put the words up on the clock and we'll play it again here in a second. Of secular music. And most of you understand, you look at this and listen and think, you know, that's not good music. It's not right. It's not holy. Now it's in country. So what's country? You see the backbeat in it. That's why you like it. That's why I like it. That back appeals to my flesh. No scars, and you're beautiful. With stars, and we're beautiful. I mean, oh, and I see the same thing we're seeing. But I don't mind being the guy with the girl. Now I won't have to hang you out to try, try, try. That's why you like the song. It's in it. It's in every part of what you sing. Number one gospel recording group in the world. Just because they slow it down doesn't mean the backbeat's not in there. This is a Christian concert. Now we're into contemporary Christian music. music. Probably a music that I would lean towards. But you know what? I've had to change so much of what I listen to. That back was there. So I don't have that driving, but it's there. Makes it move. Back the darling of Liberty University.
So let us seize this night, let us make our play. It's on like the break.
Oh, I feel it. Well, it's about a year old now. This is a Christian music video. So you see the transformational power of that backbeat. Okay, that was pretty much what I believe Moses and Aaron heard coming off the mountain. And when he saw what they were doing, they were dancing. You had a nightclub. You had Christians scantily clad. That transformational power. Was it the lyrics? No, it was that backbeat. It was that backbeat. You know, if you listen to the lyrics of the song, if you could find them, they're marginal at best, but they're spiritual, so to speak. But it's that backbeat that makes you want to do everything that is not right. Who hath bewitched you? A list of professional singers: Elvis Presley, Buddy Holly, Beyonce, Jennifer Hudson, Katy Perry, Jessica Simpson. What do they all have in common? They all grew up singing in church. They all grew up singing in church. Buddy Holly, very, very focused young man, surrendered to the mission field, as the story goes. Focused, he was dead set on going, but he could sing. And back in the 50s, when the rock music began to take off and Elvis Presley was pretty hot, and they got Buddy singing that music, and he began to sing and record. And his dear sainted mother, godly Christian lady, began to beg and plead, "Buddy, don't go that direction." He said, "Mom," he said, "if I go on deputation, I'll have to go on deputation for 3 or 4 years, and then I'll have to come back off the field. If I sing this kind of music and sing in places for a couple of years, I'll be able to support myself for the rest of my life in the mission field." 2 years later, he died in a plane crash. God doesn't want his work being done in a heathen, rebellious way. His mother took the insurance money from the plane crash and said, "If my son won't go, what he lived for will." And she sent it all to missions. I want to play this for you because I think it's important. And again, if it doesn't play, it's fine. But here you have, where did this start? How did this happen? It started right here with Chuck Smith, founder of Calvary Chapel, godfather of contemporary Christian music. Doctrinally, fundamental Christian. King James only to his death. But he allows something to happen. I want to show you so you know where what you're listening to came from. Okay? We'll see if it'll work here.
I can remember very clearly one Monday when I was in my office. The secretary called and she said, "There are some young fellows out here that want to talk to you." So I went out to meet them, and they were typical of the kids that were coming around at that time, beards and sandals and long hair and all of that. And so as I began to talk with these fellows, they said, "Well, we are a rock band, and we accepted the Lord here a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord's been giving us some Christian lyrics. And we were wondering if maybe we could share some of our music here at the church sometime." I was a little reluctant because rock music in church, never had that before. And only 2 weeks old in the Lord, what kind of lyrics would they have? And so, being a little cautious, I said, could you play a couple of the numbers for me so I can, you know, hear it? And they said, sure. They went out to their van and got their guitars and their instruments. They came on in and they started playing as I was sitting there on the steps of the little chapel. And as they started playing, I felt just the warmth of God's Spirit coming over me. I started weeping. And I said, oh, yes, you can play here at Calvary. How about tonight? It's Monday night. It's our youth night. Could you play tonight? And they said, well, one of our fellows is doing weekends in jail for a marijuana rap. But he gets out at 4 o'clock, so we could probably,
We were going to do Gimme a J, but Daryl Mansfield beat us to it.
Well, there's a lot of stories in all these lives. And, you know, it's been great for us being backstage, talking to people that we haven't seen for 20, 25 years, and remembering that God is the same all around the world.
God is the same all around the world. You see where they're getting to? That God is in everything. You just believe in God. I'll explain more about that in a second.
You know, years later, I thought about the impact of that song. At the time we wrote a lot of these songs, we weren't church guys by and large. We didn't know a lot of scripture. We knew we once were blind and now we could see, and Jesus loves me, this I know, and that was about it.
So they let these guys who knew nothing about the Word of God, recently been saved, knew nothing about doctrine. The Bible teaches us not to put those kind of people in front of other people, Christians, to teach them. And here you have a pastor who made a decision because it affected his flesh. Not scripture, not the word of God. And he forebode spiritual and biblical principles, and it started a music that is affecting us today. Very important. Who hath bewitched you? Contemporary Christian music, musicians. Steve Camp says, I have a Foreigner 4 album going in my car. He also says, I am dedicated to good music, whether it's pop, Christian, gospel, R&B, blues, jazz, classical, rock, or whatever. I just love good music. Jars of Clay, and they're a little bit outdated here, but names Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles as their inspiration. Amy Grant, again, outdated, but these are the folks that really made contemporary Christian music just go to the next level. Said, I love to hear Billy Joel, Kenny Loggins, and the Doobie Brothers. Another one of Brother Ray's favorites. Who hath bewitched you? Contemporary, you know, listen carefully. This CCM stuff, John Lennon, I'll requote this, said, Christianity will go, it will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue about that. I'm right, and I'll be proved right. We're more popular than Jesus Christ. You say, why do you bring that up again? Because now what is happening is now our contemporary Christian artists are taking liberties they should not take. They're using the lyrics and songs of the Beatles and other secular songs in their music. I don't know if this will play or not. We'll give it a shot. This is Selah, a group and song, a group that most of you know and love. And some of their songs are good songs.
There are places I remember all my life, but some have changed, some forever, not for better, some have gone, some all these places
using their tunes, just because the Beatles slow it down.
With people
it's coming friends, from a dark source.
I still can recall
some are dead and some are living. My life, I've loved them all.
So here you, now the next step is, now we're using their songs, rewriting them with gospel lyrics and gospel tunes. Who hath bewitched you? If for the sake of the world's approval, this is a very important quote here from Bill Cole. For the sake of the world's approval, the message is softened. If Jesus' name is omitted lest it offend, then I question whether it should succeed. Someday, Christian artists, executives, or even consumers will be held accountable for what they have done. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And for the sake of the dollar, Jesus is removed from much of our music. In public schools, you can't sing a Christmas song with the name of Jesus in it. I did our own investigation in our own office in the Benson Choral Club. 1 year's worth of songs, 270 songs, 154, 57% of the songs do not mention the name of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that every song that is sung that doesn't say the name of Jesus is a bad song. But you see where this is going. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus Christ. But we don't want to mention his name lest we offend. And it's more than that, because we know if we offend, we're going to lose this. And money controls everything. Music is transformational. Hillsong, their doctrine is universally charismatic, focusing on miraculous gifts, word of faith, latter rain theology now. The song, I Believe the Promises, teaches the unscriptural latter rain theology. I believe the promises about the visions and dreams, the lyrics, that the Holy Spirit will be poured out and his power will be seen. Well, the time is now, the place is here, and his people have come in faith. There is a mighty sound and a touch of fire when we gather in one place, from a song, I Believe the Promises, from their album, Shout to the Lord. Hillsong Life Center is in Sydney, Australia, where the worship leader is Darlene Zerich. The music produced by Zerich and his church has gone throughout the world and is publicly used practically in every denomination. This church practices personal prophecies, tongues, and other charismatic phenomena. Their music is intentionally produced to be doctrinally vague. This is the new thing here. Doctrinally vague to attract the widest audience of all faiths that can worship together at their concerts and not be offended, including those of no faith. And the reason of those of no faith would come is because they like rock music. You know, and at these concerts, there may not be drugs, and it may be a cleaner place to go listen to rock music. The ecumenical, charismatic, word of faith, latter rain theology is at the core of their doctrinal adherence. Preaches that Christians should come together as they will make the world a better place so that God will want to return and set up his kingdom. It is a perfect storm for the deceived to worship the soon coming king, the Antichrist. And I believe this with all my heart, that all of this is Satan's ploy to bring us to the coming of the Antichrist. The same doctrinal heresy is true with most every group, contemporary group, Christian group, and singer involved with CCM. Churches across the world, including Fundamental Baptist churches, are replacing soul winning with seeker-sensitive, carnal, flesh-driven outreach Saturdays are now reserved for band practices. When people sing, or this is important, listen carefully, kids. When people say or sing the word God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, or Word of God, yet redefine the very words to be nothing like the owners of those names. And then they are not addressing them at all. Not only have we allowed others to redefine our language and terms through CCM, we are allowing them to ascribe entirely different personas and attributes not found in Scripture whatsoever. They may say Spirit, but it's not our Holy Spirit. They may say Word of God, but it's not our God. They may say the Word of God, but it's not our Bible. They may say God, but not our God, Lord God Jehovah. They may say Jesus, but it's not our Jesus. The concert that I had looked at, they had everyone profess in God. And I left there thinking, seeing 2,000 or more kids standing, putting their faith in God. And I left there thinking, you know what? Those 2,000 kids think they're going to heaven because they believe in God. The Bible says the demons of hell believe in God. Satan is not an atheist. Believing in God will not get you to heaven. Believe in Jesus Christ. So now they want us all to worship and believe in the same God, or believe in a God or an entity. And you know what? I believe, you know, everybody has an inherent belief inside their soul that there is a God, so they'll come together, which then will pop the Antichrist. But I hear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, or ye received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Ye might pay attention to that. Ye hypocrites, well did I say as prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is what? Far from me, but in vain they worship me. They do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Brother Eddie, you know what? I've seen these performers, and boy, their prayer and their heart is so sincere, but it is in vain. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before the eyes of Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Young people, you were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not going to get better by listening to fleshly music. You may have your heart stirred, and you may have your heart. You know what? Listen to me. Let me tell you how to tell whether a song is bad or good. Is does your heart like it? Bible says my heart is what? Deceitful and above all things desperately what? When I begin to trust my heart, doesn't mean that every song I like is bad, but it ought to be a tell that I ought to pay attention. Is this a good song? Here they're trying to be made perfect by the flesh, and you can't do that. You got to be made perfect by the Spirit, and that's obeying the Spirit of God. So what do? We recognize if the music you listen to, regardless of genre, by the way, there are over thousands, I think last count, over 1,500 different genres of music. And you say, well, I'm glad he didn't play mine. I'm not talking about your music. I'm talking about the rock music that is in your music. Regardless, it is out of order and in rebellion. And young people, listen to me carefully. If you want to walk that holy life, if you want to live that holy life, you know what? You can't, you listen to me. If the holy life is down that road, you can't go get in a rebellious car and get there. It's not going to take you there. It's going to see something along the road and say, hey, that looks good, let's go here. Hey, that looks good, let's go here. Hey, that looks good. And you will never get to holiness. Being saved is there's more to it. Getting saved is awesome. It's wonderful. But you now have the opportunity to live a holy life, to walk as a child of light. So what do? We admit it. I've had to. I've looked at songs that I've liked that's in my repertoire, and I said, you know what? That's got a backbeat to it. And now I've been doing this for a couple of years, and now Brother Wilkerson made a statement shortly after he became pastor, and he said the problem with music is that we call music something to worship the Lord by, but I find that most people worship music. And he said, when I hear a song like that, I don't need to be taught that it's wrong because it grieves my spirit. And young people, when you get to the place to where these songs grieve your spirit, you're on the road to a holy life. Right. If you can listen to them and you know what, you're still rebelling and you're not getting things right from getting things from God in your prayer life, you're having a hard time surrendering to the Lord, my guess is your music's in rebellion. And it's affecting your spirit. Recognize your own desires for this music. Do you like it? Yeah, you do. I do too. The heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. Recognize the harmful impact to your life, the rebellious attitude, sensual desires. Guys, you're having a hard time keeping your mind clean, staying off the internet and doing things. You know what? Because you're pumping yourself full of essential music. You're moving with it. We repent. We just say, God, I'm sorry. I've had to. I'm no better than you. I like this stuff. You can turn on a Beatles song and, you know, and I'll remember most of the words. I used to play it on my school bus going to school. You know, and you say, boy, that's awful. I liked it. You got to repent. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Rebellion is unclean. It's uncleanliness. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Purpose in your heart to be spirit-filled. And be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. That's what we ought to do. You're the answer. When Lacey came and Miss Cecily came and shared their song that they wrote, this is what we need to do. God has given this room enough talent, enough gifts to write enough Baptist music to take care of us for the next generation. God has given, we have seen it at the college, we'll hear it tonight in the piano. There are some gifted musicians here that ought to get off your rear ends and you ought to start writing good gospel songs. You ought to start arranging good gospel music. And we ought not have to go to the Benson Club and we ought not have to go to these places to get our songs because you know what? They're in it for the money. We need to be in it to please the Lord. To walk as children of light. To prove what is acceptable. This call is, yes, for you to repent of your music. There ought to be some CDs trashed in the church. There ought to be some computers unloaded. One of our members here came, before he came to Hiles Anderson College, came to youth conference, got on fire for the Lord, went home and deleted 25,000 songs off his computer. You know what? He's serving the Lord today. He's married to a beautiful young lady, has two children, faithfully in church. He's walking as a child of light once he got rid of the rebellion, the cancer. You say, well, what's wrong with contemporary Christian music? The rock music has masticized itself to our Christian music. It's going to be difficult to get rid of. But I'm looking at a new generation of young people. Those out there, the millennials, are probably not going to change, but you can. You can. You got to do what Daniel did. You got a purpose in your heart to do so.